Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Motivated by curiosity and currency. Powered by tenacity and tea. Silenced by no one. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. Where'd you go? I'm Bob McCowan. That's John Shannon over there. All right. If you're listening on radio, would you be to my left or to my right? No, you got to turn your mic on.
I am to your left and I am camera right.
Okay. So if you're driving in your car and looking at the radio and you're, and everybody does this, you try and picture what's going on.
But everybody knows this room so well, Bob. The world knows your room.
All right, John Shannon's on one side of me. Richard Deitch is on the other side of me. And way over there where he belongs is Arash Madani.
Like Rusty the Rooster. Look down and look at
Rusty
and Jerome
the Rooster.
Look way up there. There's Jerome the Giraffe.
I've been called a lot of things in my day, Shannon. Rusty the Rooster is a new one.
What, you've never heard of Rusty the Rooster?
No, no, he's too young for Rusty the Rooster.
Oh, man, you haven't lived.
Friendly Giant, baby.
The Friendly Giant, man.
Got it. So Friendly Giant quotes. Bob knows this.
Not a boy, Bob.
Yeah, last
I grew
time,
up in the Zach Morris.
It was the last
Kelly
time
Kapowski
I last time
era.
I watched anything on CBC.
Saved by the Bell reference. I like it.
That's good. Thanks for watching all my work, Bob.
Richard Deitch is going, what the hell are they talking about?
I haven't been paid attention in the last 5 minutes.
Clearly. Well, you're not involved in the conversation, so don't worry about it. One thing that happened this week, Jose Bautista returns to the Toronto Blue Jays. They had some kind of a news conference, I guess, yesterday to explain all this, Lucy. And, of course, they didn't really explain anything.
And I think Jose's coming into town tomorrow to speak.
He is.
Great. Coming on a Saturday. Yeah, good. When the regular media is off. Thoughts, comments. It's okay. I think everybody's okay with it. I think the way the scenario has unfolded, I would also say most people are disappointed with how ownership / management has adjusted during this offseason. I think most people would rather have had Edwin Encarnacion than Jose Bautista if given the choice. And I've been telling you for more than a year, you're going to have to choose. I think they would say they made the wrong choice. And you still got a bunch of guys who might not be good enough to play left field, and you haven't fixed your bullpen. And in the midst of this, the Yankees are young and maybe good, or maybe just young. Don't know yet. Too early to tell. But the Red Sox got better. And that may mean the Blue Jays are on the outside looking in for the postseason. And that may mean dramatic downward shift in revenue streams for Rogers. Tell me what you think.
I think Jose Bautista is a Toronto Blue Jay because Edwin Encarnacion is not. I think the fallout.
In other words, if they'd done a deal with Encarnacion, not interested.
I agree. From an internal perspective, I'm not talking about dollars in, dollars out, all this stuff. I'm talking about from the pressure and the reaction of this market on so many levels. You mean Edwin turned down 4x20 to go 3x20 in Cleveland? Are we crazy? What are we doing wrong? We better fix this. We better have a really comfortable old sweater on, and that old sweater's Jose Bautista. I think they felt the pressure on so many levels.
Don't you think Shapiro and Atkins completely and utterly misread this market?
I think Jose Bautista is a Blue Jay. because Edward Rogers wants him to be a Blue Jay.
All right. But that's part of it. That's exactly part of what I'm saying. You know, the forces in the market said, you know, our group of guys are good guys. I mean, we love this team, and we're losing Edwin with 42. And what are we going to? How are we going to get the old gang back? And I think there was a ton of pressure on every level, including people like Edward Rogers, that said, you know what, we need it. We need one of our good guys back.
Listen, there's no question Bautista, as of January 18th or whatever it was when he signed, was the best corner outfielder available on the market. There's no doubt there. But going into the offseason, Shapiro and Atkins said, we want to get younger and we want to get more left-handed.
And
that,
have
that
they?
Was addressed.
And have they?
A little bit.
A little bit of both.
But the Bautista signing addresses neither.
Exactly.
So why did it happen? Yeah. I think there was a little, hold on. We can't go from back-to-back ALCS appearances.
Well, let me go back to what I said earlier and you guys just ignored. Shapiro and Atkins misread this market. And let me explain how they misread this market. Right after the season ended, they offered Edwin Encarnacion what?
Four times 20.
Four times 20. And said, take it or leave it.
Yes.
With a couple of snooze buttons along the way.
Basically said, take it or leave it. And Edwin and his agent misread the market and said, we're going to leave it. And then the Blue Jays immediately turned around and signed Morales. I'm not saying Morales isn't a good player.
Literally 55% of the dollars.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying maybe he has a better year than Edwin does this year. I don't know. Nobody knows the answer to that. But they decided then that they weren't going to get Edwin Encarnacion because he turned down four times 20 and said, we got to get somebody else.
Bob, they got what they wanted out of that deal.
Well,
they got the draft pick.
Oh, I don't think so.
I do.
You don't offer four times 20.
You offer if four you want times the draft 20 pick. When you know the player is going to go to market.
But guys, this wasn't just...
But he signs for less. He signs for less than that. What?
But you're and, under the and impression
you've got,
that
you've
they
got
want
big-time
him to
players.
Begin with.
Let me finish. They got big-time players still unsigned right now, and guys who are signing for a percentage of what we thought they were going to get.
Like Trumbo.
Including Trumbo, including Bautista. A long list. So, why go out and sign Morales right away? Why not go, okay, Edwin, go see what you can get. Tap your foot like Sonic the Hedgehog. Are you sure Morales wouldn't still be available today?
See, I think the only part that Atkins and Shapiro maybe mismanaged was the take it or leave it. The take it or leave it was the part.
That's the part.
Yeah, that's the part.
I don't care what he offers them.
I mean,
but they closed. They essentially closed
the
door
right.
on themselves.
Oh yeah,
not so much on Edwin.
Yeah,
they did it to themselves.
Do you? But
it was stupid management.
I don't think they wanted Edwin back.
But you don't offer him money if you not if he's no. No, there's no evidence to support that. I mean,
Bob, the evidence to support it is very easy. That if Edwin's agent circles back and says, Cleveland's offering us three times 20, are you interested? Then the answer is yes.
But Morales had already...
No, the answer is we sign Morales. Yeah. We can't do both.
Why not?
Whereas Edwin's going to be your everyday first baseman, and you're going to add $13 million a year in Morales to your payroll?
Well, you just
for
had,
a guy
you just
doesn't
had
have a position?
$18 million added that wasn't going to be part of the budget.
Well, you know why? And you know why that happened?
Pressure.
Yeah,
I think what
we just acknowledged that Edward Rogers was a guy who unquestionably told them, "All right, guys, quit dicking around here. Sign Bautista."
What if Jose had signed somewhere by the winter meeting?
Well, then they were really in trouble.
Then they're really screwed.
You know, then they were really in trouble. I mean the off season of baseball is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I just don't.
I mean, look at what Mark Trumbo settled for.
Right.
I mean, compare. I mean, he got. Barely $12 million a year.
American home run leader.
I mean, this is, it's one of those things where they read the market properly coming out of the meetings. They read, because hitters weren't getting the money, the pitchers were getting the money, and now the chess game and the poker game, not only with the agents and players, but with the other teams started. You know, that to me is what Atkins and Shapiro were trying to do. And at one point, They misread it. They thought when they got Morales, they thought, hey, we're ahead of the curve. We read it properly. We got him for a good dollar. And then when Edwin signed in Cleveland,
signs for $20 million less,
the deadline on Encarnacion.
Because when they set the deadline for Encarnacion, they didn't know what the market was. And when the meeting started in December, everybody got a sense of, everybody started talking to each other. Well, I'm not going to do anything. And those guys are pretty honest with each other at times. I'm not going to spend my dollars on hitters. Baseball's gone. I got to have more relievers.
Do you think, just to verify the point, Arash, do you think when you heard the offer of 4x20, did you think it was ridiculously low for Edwin?
When I heard the 4x20, I'm saying, okay, these guys are expecting Encarnacion to go to market.
You misread the market too.
I think that Encarnacion,
because I thought it was a really fair offer,
right,
that would have made Edwin go, that's a really good offer. I like it in Toronto, assuming he does. Maybe I can get more, but I'm probably not going to get a whole bunch more. All they wanted to do was eliminate the marketplace. If they'd offered 4x15, they want him to go. Here, we'll give you 4x15. They know he won't take it. It accomplishes the objective that we all believe, mm-hmm, whether it's true or not, that you got to offer him something or the fans will
but
be
But you have
better.
To believe
well, we
that
wanted him, but
Encarnacion's
he
people had floated out some idea of what they were looking for initially. And the offer of 4x20 was probably less.
Well, let me ask you this.
4 years guaranteed at $20 million a year.
But if we were having this conversation 3 months ago before the offseason, we would have thought, all of us would have thought, the first number was a one.
Okay, right? But hold on now. If you were sitting across the table and you had two offers, one from Toronto, 4x20, and one from Cleveland, 3x20, what would you tell your client to do?
Well, of course.
You stay in Toronto.
So who misread the market?
Well, I think
the Jays didn't misread the market.
You don't think both sides misread the market?
I do, to an extent.
The one thing that's interesting to me as sort of an outsider here is that if you look at the Bautista deal as an individual deal, it's a good deal. It's low in years. There's an option.
Two options.
And you're getting the corner outfielder that you need. To get back to Arash's point, the problem is you can't really look at it as an individual deal. You have to look at it connected to Edwin, and you have to look at it connected to Morales. And then I ask myself, just as somebody who sort of follows the league as a generalist, is what does bringing back Bautista and adding Morales and Pierce mean for the Jays against the rest of the division? And in my opinion, they are not in as good a position today as they would have been, as they were last year, because of what the other teams have done. And I think if you didn't have Morales and you didn't have Bautista and you had Edwin, I think you'd be in a better position. I think that's how good Edwin Encarnacion is as a power hitter in the middle of the lineup.
The other thing we got to take into context is we know the Toronto Blue Jays pursued two other outfielders.
Dexter Fowler.
Right.
One through free agency.
Which really would have been
a good
fit.
And one through trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Andrew McCutchen.
At least two. We don't know who else.
Two that we know of, right.
There's two that we know of that they pursued before
signing Bautista.
Correct.
Yeah, Jose was signed on January 18th. Yeah. Came to terms, what, January 13th, 14th?
You know, I've told this story on this show before. In working for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the most popular player at the time was Curtis Joseph. Curtis Joseph could do no wrong in this town.
No, I agree.
Curtis Joseph got into a contract dispute. His agent thought he should make as much as Vince Carter, because Carter at that point was by far the highest paid player in Toronto. Joseph was driving more revenue for the company that he worked for. He thought that Curtis needed a really high-end contract. He ended up signing in Detroit. And there was panic in the boardroom at MLSE. And what it did do is it got the second most popular player signed again, and that was Ty Domi.
Mm-hmm.
They dare not come back in October without Curtis Joseph
and
without Ty Domi.
Well, with nobody to hang up there, look what we did.
And no jersey, and the jersey, you look at the jersey sales.
It's a familiar story, John.
You look at everything that, Ty, I love you dearly. They could have lived without Ty Domi.
Right.
But the fans love Ty.
Right. And let's not compare Jose with Ty.
No, my point is, it's symptomatic of the same issues.
Yes, and the amazing part of all this is, you look at the last two World Series champions, and they've won with their bullpen. The Royals won because of their bullpen. And the Cubs, in large part, it was their relievers that locked it down. And the biggest issue with this Blue Jay team right now is their bullpen. They have not addressed their pen at all. And we're talking so much about Edwin and Jose and what are they going to do and Dexter Fowler and Andrew McCutchen. Well, okay, so you have very little margin for error health-wise with your pitchers right now, with your starting pitchers right now. And you have Aaron Loop as a left-handed reliever and not much else from a left-handed standpoint.
This is where Bob says his standard line about relief pitchers. Go, Bob.
Couldn't care less.
You will. It is, Rush, I agree with you, but you would admit.
Go to Yonge Street right now. You'll find five of them.
Two left-handed three right.
You would concede, though.
You ain't finding Andrew Miller there, bro. Right.
In mid-season, you don't even have to walk down Yonge Street. Right. You just have to stand there. They'll come to you.
You can get, oftentimes, though, you can find relief help in the midseason. Somebody who's not in contention will deal you.
But you need something.
I agree. The way what we have seen from baseball in the last 2 years, the value of a six-inning starter and then shut down guys in the seventh, eighth, and
copycat
ninth.
Leagues. Yeah. It's a copycat league.
Hey, look, I acknowledge it would have been nice if they'd improved at any position, and in my mind they haven't done that at all. But unless they're planning on Martin catching 162 games, right. Who the bleep is the backup catcher? Like, I'd like to have a bullpen guy, but you know what? I could find those guys. I'd like to have a left fielder, but you got four guys that aren't any good that'll compete for the job, and who knows, maybe one of them gets hot. Who's your number two catcher? Hello?
Oh, I know.
Who's that guy?
I know.
I'll make it easier. Who are the candidates?
Deonor Navarro is still on the street. He's sitting on the couch.
By the way, is this January of 2017 or 2016, Bob?
And well, J.P. Aaron Sevier retired.
At least they got rid of the knuckleballer who brought his own caddy with him, who you had to put on the roster. So you have the one advantage that you're going to have a 25-man roster this year instead of 24. But who that guy? I mean, I'm all for patience, and I know spring training doesn't start for another month and a half, and I get all that. They got time. But I got to tell you, if I had to give them a report card, Shapiro and Atkins right now, it ain't a pass. Would you?
And then they go 7-3 in their first 10 games and you give them the
well,
pass.
Well, you don't know. But that's why they give, you know, when you go to school, John, it's so long ago, you probably don't remember this. You got more than one report card a year. You know, you got one every few months.
Yeah, but
because things change,
When I was doing my homework by lamplight.
Yeah. Was that before or after you walked uphill? Both ways to school.
You didn't go horseback to school.
A trolley.
Is there anything else in baseball? Oh, the world. I got to tell you this. I like international events. I like the concept of them. I think I should like the World Baseball Classic a lot more than I do. But I don't care. I don't care at all about it. I don't care who wins. I don't care who plays. I don't care where they play, when they play. I don't care.
I loved it the first year, and then for whatever reason, I couldn't get back into it. I'm not sure why either.
Well, but that's because, you know, the giant elephant in the corner doesn't get into it. That's because America doesn't treat it the way it. I mean, the United States. No disrespect to the defending champion, Dominican Republic. I mean, is there a rivalry?
No.
And that's, I mean, that's what international sports.
Probably South Korea and Japan are the rivalry in that classic.
You know what? You know, the games that are over in Tokyo between those two countries will be outstanding. Yeah. The fans will love it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If the World Baseball Classic were moved to the summertime every 4 years and were played during a 3-week break in the major league season as part of the Olympic Games.
Blasphemy.
Love Good it. Luck.
Blasphemy.
Good luck making that happen.
No. I get it. It's never going to happen. But don't we look at this differently?
Definitely. If the Stars play?
Yeah.
It's you look at it like the Olympic hockey tournament.
That's my point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Isn't that what's missing here?
Definitely. That'd be great. I would like to think that some of the baseball players would see winning a gold medal at the Olympics as like a cool thing.
I think they'd all play.
Although the teams would be freaking because they wouldn't want these guys to get hurt, right?
Well, in the beginning, the best basketball players play.
How is that different for NBA and
it's
NHL
not.
Players?
I think that would be phenomenal. That is something as a fan that would really excite me.
Which means it'll never happen.
Well, that's my point. I mean, I was going to, you know, look, there's a lot of issues. Like, spring training is on opposite the World Baseball Classic. Okay, we're in Toronto. Well, you aren't, but are you a fan of the Mets or the Yankees?
I grew up a fan of the Mets, but I'm a fan of neither in it right now.
But when you get to spring training, especially when you live in the Northeast, you know, the weather's starting to change or it's thinking about changing, and spring training is on, you get a little energized, yeah. And you're watching your team, and you're interested in what's going on, and da-da-da. And oh, by the way, the World Baseball Classic's going on.
Huh?
When the Olympics are on, it doesn't matter what else is going on.
Yeah.
That's the focus.
But Major League Baseball International runs the World Baseball Classic. Well, they ain't getting it.
Same tournament, same teams, same players, same everything, but it's the Olympics.
It's funny. You guys think it's a great idea, and you know that the league would kibosh it. And yet when we talk about it for hockey, everybody thinks the league should approve it. I don't know what the difference between the two.
The league should approve not going? Or?
The league should approve,
those
should approve
those
going.
Those aren't comparative things.
Oh, they are.
No, they aren't, because we don't think the NHL... We don't think the NHL should kibosh it or will kibosh it.
You think they should go.
And I think Major League Baseball should go to the Olympics, too. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I think both of them should go. I don't understand how you squeeze the baseball season into... You know,
well, it should be 154 games anyway.
Bob. Be like November 30th for your World Series. But mm-hmm. I think it'd be great. I mean, it's never going to happen, obviously, because
no.
They're not going to get money. But that would...
Wouldn't that be great?
Phenomenal. And it would change... Interestingly enough, I think it would make baseball more popular because you were seeing it in a different context. But most of those guys don't think that way. It's the same. I think the NHL becomes more popular because of the Olympic hockey tournament. I understand all the money concerns, blah, 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 blah. It is... one of the great promotions for the sport every 4 years, that Olympic hockey tournament. It's thrilling hockey.
And the players love to go, and they love to hang around. I mean, Gretz...
Live it in the village.
Yeah, Gretz told the story of after they lost.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Nagano? Yeah, first one.
And they were told they can go home now?
Yeah.
And none of them did.
No, was that the Olympics where the knucklehead Americans blasted all the hotel rooms, or was that another one?
That was the one.
That was the one.
No,
bicycles off the balconies. John LeClaire, Jeremy Roenick.
But the NHL players stayed.
Hey, that's what we do
to
here.
Cheer for the amateur. They like the environment.
Yeah,
they like being in that kind of group.
It's also a party.
What?
Newsflash.
Are we going to go back to that character clause?
Right.
Hey, we went to the Olympics.
And
did
Bob,
we go to any of those parties?
We
never went to any parties.
Go to Swiss House and tell me about the character clause.
We worked our tails off every day at the Olympics,
every
Bob.
Day, baby.
We worked our tails
off. We didn't have time to party.
No way. Well, on the air at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Oh, my God. And we had to work till 4. 4.
They should write books about you guys.
It's barely enough time to get to the bar before dinner. I'm done with that topic. We'll come back in a minute. 23 past the hour, the roundtable will continue. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Oh, hello. Oh, we're reminiscing here. Apparently, I did watch more CBC shows than just Friendly Giant.
Yes, you did. Bob.
Although that wasn't a CBC show.
Wasn't.
That was a CHCH show.
Sure, and the voiceover guy's name was Gardner Westbound.
who was a DJ at CHFI, I think.
But you go do the voiceover, his nickname is Gardner Westbound.
Of course, that was his real name.
Yes,
wink, wink.
Of course. Yes.
Nudge, nudge. Thank you to our good friends at Pizzaville for supplying the Friday Roundtable with pizza, chicken wings, and chicken poppers.
Excellent poppers.
Hungry? Visit pizzaville.ca or call 416-736-3636 and order now. McCowan, Shannon, Madani, Deitch. I forget, where we're going? Football?
Yes, sir. The National Football League.
So there's a game that will be interesting, and there's a game that I think will be great. And I think we all know which one it was. The Atlanta-Green Bay game, I just think, has got must-watch written all over it. And maybe, at least in terms of anticipation, and I have no stake with either. I don't care about either team. I don't root for either team. I've seen Green Bay a few times this year, saw them last week. I've seen Atlanta maybe twice and not a full game. But yummy.
I actually think both games are going to be great. I do agree with you that the Atlanta-Green Bay game has the potential to be spectacular, given that these are two high-scoring teams. I think the over-under is something like 60-something.
61.
61, which is, I mean, that is a huge over-under. Aaron Rodgers is playing in a level that may be among the greatest in the history of the game, and his play against the Cowboys, particularly that pass, that's an all-time play. You have Matt Ryan, who is leading, you know, maybe arguably the best offense in football. If not, it's top two, top three. So that game's going to be good.
He's the MVP.
Can make the argument. It's probably good. I would say that's correct, at least in my mind.
Ryan's year makes him, in my mind, the MVP.
I would just say don't sleep on that other game.
No.
Because the previous time they played, which was a pretty easy Patriots win, no Roethlisberger, no Le'Veon Bell, and in this game, the Patriots don't have Gronkowski. So while it's at home, and Belichick's record at home in conference championships is great, the Steelers are a really, really good team with significant skill people in Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. While I would probably lean to the Patriots, it would not surprise me if the Steelers won.
I'm never going to bet against the Patriots in the playoff game. I'm never going to bet against the Patriots in a playoff game in Foxborough.
They have lost.
But do you think I'd make money?
No, I think if you bet historically with the Patriots in Foxborough over the years,
I wouldn't be sitting here with you. I got news for you. I'd have so much money. I'd be laughing at you.
The McCowan building in Dubai.
So I'm not doing that. Do you think New England played well last week? They won by 18 points, but they didn't play well.
Both teams, the Steelers and the Patriots, thought last week they played miserably, and they still both won.
I would agree. Well, Steelers didn't score. The Steelers didn't score a touchdown.
I thought the Patriots beat a bad team last week is how I would phrase it.
And Pittsburgh ran into a good game.
Brady didn't have a good game. Yeah. The offense didn't play that well.
Tom threw two picks.
See, I'd love to talk about the Atlanta game, but Richard got us to the Steeler game. I think Pittsburgh's going to win.
Diverted attention.
I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I think Roethlisberger is a big game player. I think their defense is strong at the right places, and I just think there's something. You talk about the Patriots and all their. I just think there's something about the Steelers right now. When you talk about Bell, when you talk about Brown, and then you talk about Big Ben, you know what? There's enough stuff there that this team can beat New England.
Look, John, you may be right. I will say this, and I'll tell your audiences because they might not have heard this earlier. On Blair's show, we had Jenny Varentis, who is a Monday Morning Quarterback senior writer.
And she's excellent.
There is a bug going around the Steelers. So a lot of the guys have the flu. A lot of the guys are under the weather. Who knows? A lot of times this means nothing on a Sunday. But if nothing else, something to watch. They also get less time, I think, to rest than the Pats. They have to travel. And then if you buy anything into the Antonio Brown distraction with social media, they would have to overcome a lot to win. But I agree with you. I would not be surprised if they win.
And I think Brown, I think he's such a big game player. I think he knows what he did wrong. Both his teammates, although some of them didn't really mind him doing it. Let's face it.
I loved it. So,
I know, but you're not supposed to be in there.
It's fun to be in there, though.
I think Brown will play one of the games of his career on Sunday.
You know what's interesting, fellas? We have
We'll decide if it's interesting.
A Pittsburgh team that was 4-5 and hasn't lost yet. A Green Bay team 4-6 that hasn't lost yet.
Good point.
And along the way, Green Bay had no business being the Chicago Bears late in the season. There's an argument to be made that the Cowboys could have won that football game last week. They're finding ways to get there. Antonio Brown lunged past the goal line to beat Baltimore along the way. These teams have been the cardiac
on the edge for a long time.
I like the two teams on the weekend with the more balanced attacks. I really do, and I think
you're just being a contrarian.
You're taking two road teams to win. Am I correct?
Atlanta? I think Atlanta has a more balanced attack.
So your Super Bowl is Atlanta-Pittsburgh.
I think my Super Bowl is Atlanta-Pittsburgh.
Right, and if you are right now working for Fox, you are jumping off the building because that is not what you want.
That's correct. Right. But I just think, you know, if
Fox Bell, wants New England Green Bay.
Fox wants New England Green Bay.
I think the country wants New England Green Bay. But I just think that Pittsburgh, I think their balanced offense is going to play benefits to them. And I think the same thing for Atlanta.
And one thing, Rodgers Brady have really not faced each other a lot during their career. So that's a dream matchup for television as well as for sort of legacy purposes.
I tell you, I think Pittsburgh is the better team than New England right now. But there are some things going against them. One, they've won a lot of games in a row. But I think you can't discount exactly what they've been through. Forget the flu for a minute. You play Sunday night, which means you don't get back until Monday at 4 in the morning to Pittsburgh. You got to fly again on Saturday. You have a shorter work week against a New England team. That was the perfect scenario for how Bill Belichick likes to run things. Yeah, they won. They won handily. They didn't really lose anyone to injury. And those players knew they were going to get their butts reamed out when they got back to work. So the weapons, Pittsburgh has more of. The defense, Steelers are probably a little bit better. But
a rash is kind of tipping to my side.
But you got to go do it. And I'm not.
I would take the Pats. It's hard, as I'm sure Bob agrees with me, it's just hard to pick against New England at home in a big game.
It's stupid.
If Gronk's playing, it's such a different ball game. Who's Brady's number two?
I'm listening to they were 4-5 and now they're 12-5. What's New England? How many games has New England lost this year?
Yeah. And one was without Brady.
Yeah, but look, it's the Bills, it's the Jets.
Whatever. You know. You can only beat what they put in front of you. They've lost twice. They have a legacy, a history of being the best franchise in football for the last 5 years.
I'm amazed they didn't win the Super Bowl every year then.
Well, I am kind of too.
We do have, by the way, the interesting little sort of sub-story sitting out there that if the Pats advance, Roger Goodell cannot avoid the Patriots anymore. Yes. He must attend the Super Bowl. You know, he's been smartly.
Maybe he gets
attending the NFC games.
he went to Kansas City last week, I believe.
He did, right. Oh, that's right. It's a good point by you. But he will. That would be, if the Patriots end up winning, fascinating to see Tom Brady on that podium, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell.
And as far as the Falcons go, I said this earlier in the week when Banks was on. Nobody really knows. They didn't pay any attention through the first 9 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I mean,
first 9 or first 16?
Well, I was trying to be nice.
Right.
And okay, first 16. Yeah. I mean, we remember Matt Ryan not from this year. We remember for the last 10.
Right.
It's an overlooked franchise historically for whatever reason.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's so, but they run the ball well. You know,
two good running backs.
Their biggest issue will be their defense. That's why it's 61 points, but, you know, I just think the balanced attack
Green
teams
Bay's
are going to win.
Green Bay's defense is a mess.
Atlanta's is not much better.
No, I tell you, the DBs are hurt.
Yeah.
The one area Atlanta is vulnerable, and we saw it last week, especially early. Devin Hester had two big returns for Seattle, but they were called back due to penalty. Randall Cobb's pretty good back there for Green Bay. He's elusive. Don't sit on the kicking game here. Fourth down may be the most important down of all in that football game.
Atlanta scores so many points, their punter takes months off, not days off.
I think another reason I like Atlanta late is the game in Atlanta, so climate controlled. You know, Green Bay always has an advantage playing at that stadium.
Yeah,
they're used to playing cold. This is a climate controlled game.
Last week was
climate controlled game with an excellent offense.
Yeah, last week was climate controlled, though. I mean, Dallas was climate controlled, so...
Atlanta That's just true. Has to work on their Hail Mary defense. Rodgers can't have another garbage fraudulent throw he did it again.
From the other perspective, Richard, is that, I'm so used to, conference championship Sunday, a 1 o'clock game and a 4 o'clock game.
Not anymore, man. You're old. You're too old school. Got to push it back.
There's no other better programming than the NFL on a weekend. So CBS has got their game, the game out of Foxborough. It starts at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
The NFL has invaded Sunday night programming.
Right, but having your years in television, John, you know this. Sunday night is Sunday as a whole, but Sunday night in particular is far and away the most watched night of the week in television. Yep. And if you can get into that primetime window, which they now do, mm-hmm. there's a reason why these conference championships games draw 53, 55, 50 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with these matchups, they're guaranteed for that. If the game, the late game, let's say, really is a great game and is, tight with a minute or two left, they could be looking at 60 million,
What would that
then
peak?
That could peak at like 60 or 70. Now we're talking like debate kind of numbers and the numbers that are only second to the Super Bowl.
Debate in 2016 numbers.
Right, correct.
Not in 2012.
Right. Monster revenue.
But, I'm not as bothered by that. I don't really care if games go late either. I always think the writers, especially the sports media writers, are like, oh, kids can't see it, blah, blah, blah. But like that game's still not going to end it. The latest that game's going to end is what, 9:30?
Yeah.
9:30.
That's not terrible.
Yeah. The power of professional sports, PVR-proof professional sports.
Definitely.
Has changed the whole landscape.
Do you like the 3 o'clock start? I think if you lived in California, that'd be fantastic. Well, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
I grew up on the West Coast. Football started, pregame shows started at 9. Football started at 10 in the morning.
Crazy.
And then you actually could watch football all day and then have a life at night. It was actually really nice.
And now you have two terrible football teams coming to Los Angeles, so it's not as fun.
Don't get Bob going on that.
Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
The Rams are terrible.
Well, maybe the Chargers don't wind up in L.A.
Where are they going?
Speculation is that the National Football League is not happy about the decision to move the Chargers to Los Angeles and would and may veto that move.
Which means they'd stay in San Diego?
I don't know what it means. Wow. What I suspect it would mean is that the owner of the Chargers would take them to court.
Right.
And if you go back to the Al Davis scenario, if the precedent means anything,
Chargers win.
He'd win.
Do you guys know
I know that will happen? I do not.
Where does Oakland stand now? Vegas, perhaps, or Oakland?
They've now formally asked the National Football League to allow them to move to.
Can you imagine if Las Vegas in 2 years has a NHL and NFL team? That'd be incredible.
But you know what they want now?
An MLS team.
Oh, they want that.
NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
Four sport town.
All of a sudden, the NBA wants to expand.
Wow.
And on the list of the four cities most likely to get NBA expansion franchise. Da, 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 da.
Here's the
Las
phone
Vegas.
Bob, you will never come back. You will stay there
here's
forever.
Here's the phone call. Hello, Gary. Yeah, it's Bill Foley. I paid too much for my franchise.
You think?
Because I bought a one-team town. Now I got a four-team town.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. Well, you know this,
Bob. A basketball team, a football team, a hockey team, and
MLS is coming.
Yeah.
MLS, and they probably get. I thought there'd be a baseball team there before
Vegas more than all of us collectively.
I lived there for years.
Right. How many teams realistically could they support? Pro teams? Just one. So one. Four team would be a disaster.
Has won the NFL?
No. NFL would be...
See, I think the NFL and one more. They could
me
do
too.
That.
So two.
Like the NFL's just such a no-brainer.
Right.
10 events. It's 10 events.
Yeah. Right.
So an NFL, NHL could work.
It's going to impact a little bit. But mostly on attention. See, I think the NFL hurts the NHL team more than it would hurt an NBA team
Why?
Or a baseball
Why?
Team. Well, because...
it's only eight games.
I think the margin for error in hockey in a city like Las Vegas is smaller.
Okay.
And if there's a family out there that are sports fans, but they have limited income and they have to decide where they're going to spend, they're probably going to spend on the NFL. And they may say... We'd like to go to hockey games, but we can't really afford it. It's too much.
But how is that different than choosing the NFL to NBA? NBA prices are going to be the same. Or is it just because they understand the sport better? No,
because there's more NBA fans.
Okay.
I think there's a lot more NBA fans and a lot more baseball fans in Las Vegas than there are hockey fans. Now, that could change. It could grow.
Yeah.
But you're essentially, hockey is non-existent.
Well, which was the whole concept of going in first.
Yeah.
and having 3 years to yourself.
Yeah, well, they got part of it. They got in first. They may only have a few hours to themselves.
They'll have a season by themselves.
Are we all set to? Did we make predictions yet on the games? Let's go around the table real quickly. I think we know where Shannon's
Pittsburgh,
going.
Pittsburgh Atlanta.
I'm with John.
Pittsburgh, really?
And I'll take the Falcons and the Patriots.
That's the correct answer right there. So now you know who to bet on.
Yeah.
Two idiots at the end.
The Packers. The Packers are going all the way. So no. It's okay, Bob. You know.
Have we missed anything on this program today? We haven't talked basketball. We haven't talked hockey.
Want to throw John a bone and just give him Jake 3 minutes of hockey?
No, it's okay.
You want to make a speech on?
Hey, by the way, Jake Allen's not even making the next trip. He's number one goaltender for the St. Louis Blues.
Who cares?
Well, he's in Winnipeg. People in Winnipeg care. Jets have a chance to win. Claude Julien's in trouble in Boston.
Is he?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, if they hadn't played 50 more games than everybody else in the league, they wouldn't be in second place, would they?
I'm doing the Habs Sabres game tomorrow night. What's going on with Carey Price? Is he human?
He's lost it. It's over. I bet she gets pulled Saturday night.
Canadians
gives up 9 and gets pulled.
Canadians have played a lot of hockey.
Gets traded to Colorado.
Remember he started playing games in September, that mattered. It's a long season. I think everybody hits the wall every once in a while.
Since I have Arash and I want him on the air, so I want the prediction on the air. Arash, how many majors will Serena Williams win this year?
3.
Wow. Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be emailing you when that does not happen.
How many does Milos Raonic win?
I got to say 0. I hope he does. But
I didn't ask you, but you're right.
What do you think?
Look, he's thinking about it. You actually think he could win a major?
Wimbledon, maybe, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. We'll have to see.
He could win a major.
Yeah, he could.
He got to a Wimbledon final last year.
Yeah, he's going to need
the Australian Open semifinal last year.
Not get to the next round in Australia. He's hurt again.
Would that change anything for?
He's sick.
Would that bring more fans into the marketplace for Canadian tennis? Would people get excited?
People were very excited
about the Wimbledon final last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
More than a million Canadians watched that.
No
final.
Canadian.
Wow. That's a great television number. Yeah.
No Canadian has ever won one of those.
No Canadians ever won a major.
Nope.
Greg Rudetsky was the closest.
He was not a Canadian.
I know. I'm bringing
that
up.
We kicked his ass out.
You got him out, yeah.
Well, he left.
Doubles. Nestor's
he left.
Doubles.
We kicked his ass on the way out the door. He'd already decided to go. Turncoat. And then he got ordinary in a real hurry. So
paid the price.
We were happy about that.
Kind of like Michael Owen.
In Serena's way is Angie Kerber and not much else. I mean, that's a bit of an interesting thing.
Watch out for Pliskova.
Yeah, she's good.
She's good. Bob doesn't want to hear this, but yeah, watch out for Pliskova.
Never heard of her.
See, we got a better chance to make a mark in men's golf in the next 2 years than we do men's or women's tennis.
Definitely women's golf.
Oh, yeah. Well, both golfs, actually. Yeah, I think that's where we're going to push the envelope.
Who do you like on the men's side? Do you like this Mackenzie Hughes kid?
I like Mackenzie Hughes. I like Nick Taylor. I think he's a very good golfer.
He's very good, but I mean, he has had a long...
He's not that old, Bob.
Oh, yeah, man. I can remember when I was a kid when I played with him.
and then there's our friend Brooke. Brooke's going to carry the flag for us this
you know what bothers, you know what worries me about Brooke? I'm really worried she played way too much last year. Too much. I don't know why. It's like I had nothing else to do.
You know, if she had won her major tournament at the end of the season rather than at the beginning of the season, she would have had an opportunity to win an athlete of the year.
If she had done better at the Olympics, she's in a much different conversation.
That's a good point. That's a good point, too.
That's a tough league, though, LPGA Tour right now. The Asian players, there's so many of them, and they're all good. Mm. It is a tough hill to climb. Now, she's a great player. I wish her the best of luck. But I'm a little worried about how much she played. And I understand enthusiasm, and it's new, and she wanted to try all these courses and didn't have anything else to do and whatever. I'm guessing she's going to pare back her schedule this year.
Here's at least one for I hope you. She will. Novak's not going to win a slam this year.
He'll win a slam this year. That's two things you're wrong on.
I'll give you
on in
one
tennis.
Guarantee.
He's not winning the Aussie.
He ain't winning the Aussie. Deitch, have a safe trip back
to
America.
To the listeners and to everybody at 590, thank you for the hospitality. Can't thank you enough.
Good luck with your country.
Thank you.
It's going to be a hellhole by the time you get there.
Let's
call if you need help.
I'll let you know if I get through
customs. Just don't call you.
For Arash Madani, for John Shannon, and the soon-to-be-departed. Or departing, Richard Deitch. Good night from Toronto.